Wow, you really weren't kidding about this deep dive, huh? Overclocking Raspberry Pis, 122 terabyte SSD.
Lots to cover.
You really sent some fascinating stuff this time.
Yeah, some good stuff.
I've got tech blogs, product announcements, industry reports, it looks like.
It's going to be fun.
We've got a lot to unpack.
Let's dive in.
Let's jump right in and see what the future of data storage holds, shall we?
Absolutely. It's amazing to see how quickly this field is evolving, you know, from pushing the limits of processing power to finding new ways to cram terabytes into tiny spaces. It's clear that data storage is becoming a key factor in just about every aspect of technology.
Speaking of pushing limits, one of the articles you sent talks about some folks over at Scatter Venture who tried to overclock a Raspberry Pi 5 to a mind-blowing 4 gigahertz liquid nitrogen cooling custom modification.
No, the whole nine
The
yards.
whole nine yards. What I found fascinating is they didn't quite reach their goal. They topped out at 3.6 gigahertz. But the ingenuity and dedication are impressive.
Absolutely. What that story really highlights is this constant desire to squeeze every ounce of performance out of hardware. And while most of us won't be dabbling in liquid nitrogen anytime soon,
Definitely not.
it's this drive for more speed and power that pushes innovation forward.
That makes sense. So how does this connect to the bigger picture of data storage?
Well, it's all about the flow of information. Faster processing means we can handle larger amounts of data more quickly, which in turn creates a demand for storage solutions that can keep pace. It's like building a bigger highway. You need more lanes to handle the increased traffic, and some of the articles you sent show just how much those lanes are expanding.
You're talking about these massive SSDs, right? I mean, a 122 terabyte SSD from Solidigm.
It's wild.
That's enough storage to hold a lifetime's worth of photos, videos, and documents.
That's the Solidigm D5P5336. And it's a prime example of how storage capacity is skyrocketing.
Really?
What's enabling these huge leaps is a technology called QLC, or quad-level cell technology. It essentially allows manufacturers to pack more data into the same physical space on the drive.
So instead of just storing one bit of information per cell, they can squeeze in four. That's pretty clever.
It is.
But the Solidigm drive is designed for data centers, right?
You're right. The D5P5336 is aimed at enterprise-level storage. But what's interesting is that those advancements often trickle down to consumer products eventually. And it's not just about capacity either. There's another 128 terabyte SSD. You sent information about the Fison Pescari D205V, which is also geared toward data centers and focuses on heavy-duty workloads like AI and big data analysis.
It's incredible to think about the sheer volume of information these systems are handling.
Good a lot.
It makes my personal hard drive feel like a tiny speck of dust.
It really puts things in perspective.
But it's not just about cramming in as much data as possible, is it? Performance and efficiency must play a role too.
You hit the nail on the head. Take the Solidigm drive again. It's not just big, it's built for endurance. They claim it has unlimited random write endurance for 5 years.
Really?
For data centers, that translates to less downtime, lower maintenance costs, and greater reliability.
So even with constant use, the drive can keep up without wearing out. That sounds like a game changer for data-intensive
It
operations.
is.
And on the efficiency side, we have the Micron 6550 ION. It's not as massive as the Solidigm drive,
Smaller but mighty.
but it boasts incredible speeds up to 12 gigabytes per second.
Blazing fast.
And it manages to achieve that while consuming a relatively low 20 watts of power.
It's pretty impressive.
20 watts still seems like a lot for a several drive.
Sure.
But I guess in the grand scheme of a data center, that efficiency can add up to significant energy savings.
Absolutely. When you're talking about thousands of drives running 24/7, those small differences in power consumption have a major impact on both costs and environmental footprint.
So we've got super fast processing, pushing the boundaries, huge storage capacities becoming available,
It's a data explosion.
and a constant drive for performance and efficiency.
Always pushing the limits.
It's a lot to take in, but it paints a pretty exciting picture of the future of data storage.
It certainly does. And what's particularly interesting is how these advancements aren't just limited to massive data centers.
Oh, really?
They're finding their way into products for everyday users as well.
You've piqued my curiosity. Tell me more about how these data storage advancements are becoming accessible to a wider audience.
Well, let's get into that.
Okay.
One example that caught my eye is OWC's new Atlas Pro Cepha Express card.
Okay.
It's a 240 gigabyte card designed specifically for Sony filmmakers and photographers.
So not quite 128 terabytes.
Not quite.
But still a significant amount of storage in a tiny package.
It is.
What makes this card stand out?
It's all about speed and reliability. These cards are built to handle the demands of high-resolution video recording and burst photography, where data transfer rates are critical.
Right.
Imagine being able to record hours of 4K footage without worrying about your storage, bottlenecking your workflow.
That must be a game changer for creative professionals who are working with massive files.
Absolutely.
It seems like every advancement in data storage is about removing those bottlenecks, whether it's in a data center or a filmmaker's camera bag.
Precisely, and it's not just about individual products either.
Oh.
Companies like NetApp are taking a broader ecosystem approach, tailoring their storage solutions to specific use cases.
Their new AFFA series and C series storage systems really caught my attention.
Oh yeah, those are interesting.
They seem to be tackling the challenge of making high performance storage more accessible.
That's a great observation. The A series is designed for speed and accessibility, boasting sub-millisecond latency and improved performance. It's aimed at customers who need top tier performance, but might not have the resources for a full blown enterprise level setup.
So bringing those high end capabilities to a wider market.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense. And what about the C-Series?
The C-Series is all about efficiency and scalability.
Okay.
Making it ideal for general purpose workloads and businesses looking to consolidate their storage infrastructure.
Okay.
It supports unified file block and object storage protocols.
Wow.
Giving users a lot of flexibility in how they manage their data.
It sounds like NetApp is really trying to cover all the bases from high performance needs to more general purpose applications.
They are.
But they didn't stop there, did they?
Nope.
They also announced new software designed for object storage.
You're referring to Storage GRI 11.9.
That's it.
Which is specifically designed to handle the growing demands of object storage workloads. Object storage is a way of storing data as discrete units.
Okay.
Making it very scalable and well-suited for cloud-based applications.
So with all these hardware advancements, we're also seeing the software side evolve to keep pace.
We are.
It's like a constant dance between the two.
It's a fascinating interplay, and it highlights how data storage is becoming a holistic ecosystem. It's not just about the drives themselves, but about the software that manages them, the networks that connect them, and the security measures that protect them.
That brings us to another important piece of the puzzle.
Uh-huh.
Microsoft's release of Windows Server 2025.
Oh yeah, big news.
From what I gather, they've really focused on security enhancements and cloud integration.
Absolutely. Security is paramount in today's world.
All right.
And Windows Server 2025 includes features like hardened SMB protocol and delegated service accounts, which help to protect against unauthorized access and data breaches.
And with the rise of cloud computing, it's not surprising to see that they've deepened the integration with Azure.
Not at all.
The ability to do hot patching through Azure Arc sounds like a major plus for system administrators.
It's a game changer for sure. Hot patching allows for system updates to be applied without requiring a reboot,
right?
Minimizing downtime and disruptions.
That's a huge benefit for any business that relies on 24/7 uptime. It seems like they've also made some significant performance improvements in storage IOPS and ReFSD duplication.
They have.
Can you explain what those are and why they matter?
Of course, IOPS stands for input-output operations per second.
Okay.
Which essentially measures how quickly a storage system can read and write data.
Mm-hmm.
Higher IOPS means faster performance.
Okay.
Especially for applications that require a lot of data transactions.
So a higher number is better.
Exactly. And ReFSD duplication is a technique that eliminates redundant data blocks on a storage volume. This frees up space and can improve performance by reducing the amount of data that needs to be read or written.
It sounds like they've really thought about how to optimize every aspect of the storage system, from the hardware to the software. It's incredible to see how much progress has been made in just a few years.
It's a testament to the ingenuity of engineers and developers who are constantly pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
Yeah.
But it's also important to remember that technology is just a tool. It's up to us to decide how to use it.
That's a good point. We've talked a lot about the technical aspects of data storage.
Yeah.
But what about the bigger picture?
Yeah.
What does all this mean for the average person?
Right.
Why should we care about terabytes and IOPS and deduplication?
That's a great question, and one that I think about a lot. It's easy to get caught up in the numbers and the jargon.
Yeah.
But it's important to step back and consider the impact of these advancements on our lives.
So how does all of this connect to the everyday experiences of people who might not be tech experts?
Well, think about the sheer volume of data that we generate every single day.
Yeah.
From our smartphones and social media activity to online shopping and streaming services, we're creating an enormous amount of data. And all of that data needs to be stored somewhere.
It's like that saying, data is the new oil.
Exactly. And just like oil data needs to be extracted, refined, and stored, but unlike oil data, has the potential to be incredibly valuable.
Yeah.
It could be used to fuel innovation, drive scientific discoveries, personalize our experiences, and so much more.
It sounds like you're saying that data storage is becoming the foundation for a future where data plays an even more central role in our lives. Is that right?
Absolutely. And with the rise of artificial intelligence, machine learning, and the Internet of Things, the amount of data we generate is only going to increase exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
We need storage systems that can not only keep up, but also adapt to these evolving demands.
So all those seemingly small improvements in efficiency and performance are actually laying the groundwork for a more data-driven world?
They are.
It's like building a digital civilization brick by digital brick.
It is.
But with all this talk about the potential of data, it's important to consider the other side of the coin as well.
You're absolutely right. We need to think about the ethical implications of all this data collection and storage.
Yeah.
Who has access to it?
Right.
How is it being used?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are the privacy concerns?
Good point.
These are questions that we need to start asking ourselves now before we find ourselves overwhelmed by the sheer volume of information we're creating. It's a bit like we've invented the printing press, but haven't quite figured out what to print yet.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
There's a sense of both excitement and trepidation.
Right.
We have these incredible tools at our disposal, but it's up to us to use them wisely and responsibly.
It's a big responsibility.
It's like standing on the edge of a new frontier with all the possibilities and uncertainties that come with it.
That's a great way to put it. The future of data storage is still being written.
Yeah.
And that's up to all of us to shape it in a way that benefits humanity as a whole. And speaking of shaping the future, one of the articles you sent mentioned some interesting developments in the world of software.
Ah, yes. Huh. There was an article about a company that's developing a whole new type of storage technology based on DNA.
Oh, right. DNA storage.
Apparently, you can store massive amounts of data in a tiny amount of DNA, and it's incredibly durable.
That's right. DNA storage is still in its early stages.
Yeah.
But it has the potential to revolutionize the way we think about data storage. Imagine being able to store the entire Library of Congress in a space the size of a sugar cube.
That's mind-blowing. It sounds like science fiction, but it's becoming a reality.
It is, and it just goes to show that we're only just beginning to explore the possibilities of data storage. Who knows what the future holds? Perhaps we'll find ways to store data in light or even in quantum states.
The possibilities seem endless. It's both exciting and a little daunting to think about all the unknowns.
It is. But I think it's important to approach these advancements with a sense of curiosity and wonder. After all, we're living in a time of unprecedented technological progress, and data storage is at the heart of it all.
Well, on that note, I think it's time for us to take a short break and collect our thoughts when we come back.